Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is it rude to leave a voicemail? What do you mean rude to leave a voicemail? But I think I'm going to the dark side. Because after thinking about it, I mean, maybe not rude, but kind of silly. Because when was the last time you listened to your voicemail? And this is completely generational, by the way. I'm Jordana Green, David at the helm, and my dear friend Todd Walker is joining me over to my left on the Facebook Live. Hi, gorgeous.
Well, hello, hello, hello. And yes, this is a topic dear to and near to my heart because I think everybody has opinions on this one. And yeah, well, let's start.
Okay. We'll catch up with Todd in just a minute.
Yeah, that's fine.
But digital etiquette, this is something we talk about a lot because, you know, is it okay for your boss to text you late at night? Is there a proper response? We're in this whole world. 12 years ago, the iPhone came out. So it's a brave new world with communication in the digital age. So let's talk specifically about voicemail. The writer of this article in the New York Post says there is absolutely no purpose for voicemails in the modern age. You have no idea what to expect from them. They could go on for minutes. You might have to reach for a pen and jot down information. It's super inefficient and inconvenient. And if you call someone, don't expect them to pick up.
Okay. My opinion on the voicemail piece is I never leave voicemail messages anymore. Mm-hmm. But the one piece he's leaving off of this voicemail etiquette, nothing annoys me more than if I should call David or Jordana, yeah, and I leave a message, and then I get a phone call from one of the two of you and say, I see you just called and you left a message. And now I have done this. I've said, so now you're asking me to take my time to repeat what I just left in your voicemail because you don't want to pick up the phone and listen to the voicemail. That is super irritating. Has it happened to either one of you?
Of course, but isn't it your bad for leaving the voicemail in the first place?
Let's say you're in a situation. You know what? This happened to me yesterday. I was trying to reach Chan Poling, you know, from the New Suburbs. And I know he was getting on a plane. And I thought, is he going to have his text on? And is he going to have his phone on? So I left him a voicemail message. And he did listen to it. Now, if he would have called me up and said, hey, Todd, I saw you left a voicemail message, that would have annoyed me. There are times that you can leave voicemail messages and it might make sense. Few and far between. But don't ask. Do not listen to it.
So you're saying if you must leave a voicemail, make sure it has content that is necessary. Don't do the, hey, call me back.
No, absolutely. Or what I have done. Let's say there's a lot of information in a voicemail message that you want to leave. I have then texted somebody and said, hey, I just left you a voicemail message. You might want to listen to it. There's some information in there that I wanted to share with you. So there are times I think that you can leave voicemail messages. Mm-hmm. But if you do get one, listen to it. And don't expect the caller to repeat the message. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess.
You've done it. I can tell.
I probably have.
Oh.
Because we all are victim to the long voicemail message.
True.
And don't be that person
that leaves
a long, rambling voicemail message.
That is so irritating.
Don't do it.
Yeah, and I don't. And personally, and I know this is one of the points that is from the article, but I do get irritated. There are certain people that call. Do you have certain people that are phone callers?
Well, that's what David and I were talking about. There are certain people in our lives we call. I call my mom. I call my husband. Sometimes I call my kids, and they actually know to pick up the phone. Your phone is talking to me. Maybe one or two friends that I haven't talked to in a while. Like if I know I want to get into it with them or if I have a story to tell. But I do not communicate on the phone through talking.
No, but and do you get irritated at times when somebody does call you? And it's like, why didn't you just text me or why don't you just? Yeah.
Yeah, I
find
I do.
It irritating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, there are people. Like, my brother does not live in – and you have family out of the state,
of course,
too. Yeah. So, you know, when he calls, I immediately think, you know, we have an aged you know, an older father. He's staying with him for the next 6 weeks. He may have something.
Call.
I pick up the phone.
Of course.
But when it's just a random, you know, that's calling you, an acquaintance, I find it irritating.
The article also says – forget the surprise phone call. You should never do that. In fact, it's rude. They say you should always schedule a call. So, like, let's say you want to catch up with an old friend. I've done this before.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's been so long. I miss your voice. When can you talk?
Right.
Because I know we're going to have a 20-minute conversation. Or when you're in the car driving home, it's a good time to call. When can you talk to me where I can have your attention, you can have mine, and we can connect? I've definitely done that.
I've done that, too. But isn't it not annoying also when you know somebody else has a plenty of time? They might be waiting for a plane. They might be in traffic. Mm-hmm. So they – and I get irritated because this to me is rude. They're right away thinking, because I have a plethora of time right now, you're just going to kick back and we are going to chat. And it's that I find completely irritating.
Irritating. Tom's in Forest Lake. Tom, do you want to jump on the voicemail bandwagon here?
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
How's it going?
Great.
Okay, so, like, my dad will call, the insurance guy will call, you know, and I'll call him right back. And I got a notification, you know, they left a voicemail. I'm like, well, I'm like, hey, you called, you left me a voicemail. Yeah, well, did you listen to the message? I'm like, no, I ain't got time to go through my voicemails. Just tell me what you wanted.
Oh,
well,
that's...
You could have texted me and said the same thing.
Oh,
you know?
Don't ever call me. That would irritate me so bad. If I'm taking the time to leave you a voicemail message, now we have to. You're expecting me to just repeat everything. Just listen to it so you can call up and say, hey, Todd, I understand that you're interested in attending this event that I'm having. Here's the information, because you might want to return a voicemail. What if you get my voicemail and you haven't listened to yours?
I think Tom's right. Well, don't leave voicemail.
The thing is that they don't. Usually they want a response back, you know, and then I'll just tell my dad, you know, instead of leaving me a voicemail, why don't you just text me you needed? Because that's what I normally do. If I get people's voicemails, I'll just text them.
Phone calls are going to be obsolete. Tom, great call. Thank you. They're just going to be obsolete because be efficient. You can say that in a text and you'll probably get a faster response because I'm at work or I'm in a meeting or I'm somewhere where I can't really pick up the phone because I might be with somebody else.
Right. And my dad, who's 87 years old, he texts me and it's so much more efficient.
Yep.
I mean, it works.
Yep. No, I love it. Well, look, I barely talk on the phone. And at work, David and I were talking about this. He said to me, he goes, have you ever once used the phone on your desk?
Interesting.
I said, if it rings during, like, the half hour that I'm sitting there, that I'm not in a production studio or here in the studio, I will pick it up. But rarely.
Yeah.
It's best not to leave a voicemail because whatever you can communicate in voicemail, you probably need to communicate in email because you're going to have to send me a press release. You're going to have to pitch me on that story anyway. Just send it in email so I can respond
away. Right. So you can read it. You can have some time to digest it. And then you can pick up the phone and call them if you need to. But do you have a home phone?
Not anymore.
No. David?
I have never had a home phone.
Never?
I mean, at my parents' house, yes, but since I moved out, no, I've never had a home phone. I have the phone at my desk. When they set up my desk, I said, do I have to have that there? They said, yes.
Yes.
So the phone is there, and Jordana told me today it's blinking, which means I have a voicemail. So sometime in the last 9.5 years, I've gotten a voicemail, but I don't know how to check it. I'm sure I set it up one day, but I never use it. I don't know, email me or call me.
But this is very concerning because David is the producer of the show. So David needs to be checking the voicemails about the pitches and the information.
I've never given somebody that number, though. Like, I don't know how really get that number to call it. No.
So if you're trying to book a segment on the show or give a pitch, I guess do it via Twitter at Jordana WCCO. Like, that's how I reach out to guests now. That's how I reached out to the guest this morning. Jason King, I wanted him to come on the show, the guy who bought the gloves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I reached out on Twitter. I find it's faster to reach out that way than it is with voicemail.
I do, too. So I'll go through Facebook. But I also... Speaking of etiquette, on Facebook, I do not want a long message on Facebook where people are going to go Facebook Messenger and they're going to leave me a long message and that's their way to communicate, especially people that do what we do and they're pitching us. That's irritating.
Just be very quick about that.
Wait, so if you're reaching out to somebody on Facebook, is it just to say make a connection and then transfer to email? You say, okay, now hit me up on my email? Or how do you transfer the info?
I do ask them to email me. I mean, because there's just, if I get pitches, it just gets too much to have all these different spots. Just email me so I can read the pitch.
Also, never reply all.
Oh,
and I think people finally understand this. Like, you may not reply all ever unless the email specifically says, please reply all.
Okay, you're right on that, but I think it's more the fault of whoever sent the message to a group of people and didn't use the blind carbon copy feature. Like, you BCC everybody, and then you cannot reply all. Like, the sender of the email needs to take that, take the onus on themselves.
I agree with that.
Way.
I agree with that. That to me is really irritating. And at times when I've seen all these people that they're either pitching or all these other people that are on this email, I'm like, do you really want me to know that you're pitching me and Jordana the very same story
that's
or whatever?
The worst.
That is just, it's like, why are you doing that? So that shows like really a lack of maturity and knowing how to pitch. Mm-hmm. But the reply all piece.
Yeah,
so yes, the onus is on the sender. But when you do reply all, especially like there's a meeting, 30 people maybe are coming to a meeting. Can you attend this meeting? I don't really care if Carolyn in West St. Paul is going to be able to attend the meeting. It doesn't matter. And now you're clogging it up with, that's irritating.
Here's one I haven't heard, that you're not supposed to use punctuation in text.
Yeah, I've heard that. But why?
I respect the English language. I use the apostrophe properly. I don't end sentences on prepositions as much as I can do that. But this I don't really understand, because if I'm writing a sentence, it doesn't matter that it's text. I feel that you need a period, or you need an exclamation point, or a question mark.
Yeah, I've heard this one before, and I think this is also generational, where they don't believe in, because if you're writing a Instagram post, probably aren't as, I think I am and you probably are, but accustomed to using punctuation. But through this type of communication, I do want to see an exclamation point or parentheses or whatever. I agree.
Mike's in Minneapolis wants to jump in here on the digital etiquette conversation. Hey, Mike.
Hi there. You know, I very rarely use the phone. For the main reason is because in my job, I want a paper trail. I don't want people coming back and saying, well, he said this and he said that. No, I never said that. You know, I need that proof. And I print the emails, too, because they do get deleted.
Well, you're a paranoid guy.
I know.
Oh,
what
experience.
Kind of business are you in, Mike?
I'd rather not say it.
Oh, see? You're even a private paranoid guy. I'm not criticizing your paranoia, because I have moments of that as well where I want a paper trail. But, yeah, I bet you have a file so deep of your communications that you've printed. I bet you print everything.
I not everything, but you know, the important things. Yeah. And you know, as far as the cell phone goes, the company issued a cell phone. And when I was out getting some things for purchasing some things for the company, and I was at the cash register, and the clerk heard the phone ringing in my pocket, and he said, "Do you want to get that?" And I said, "No, they told me I had to carry it, but they never said I had to answer it."
Oh my.
And I didn't know that it was on auto answer, and I heard my boss's voice coming out of my pocket saying, "I know he's there. I can hear him."
That's funny. Wow. Oh, Mike. Mike's getting himself in trouble with that phone, so Mike's going to have to change up the etiquette. Stop killing trees, Mike, but it pays to be a little paranoid. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. We'll continue a part of this conversation, and then Todd claims he's got a gripe that he would like to air on the air. Hear that next.
Say, have a
so no voicemails. If you learn one thing from the show today, unless something drastic happened in your life, do not leave a voicemail.
But listen to it if it's there.
Todd Walker is joining me in studio for the hour. I'm so happy to see you, my friend.
You as well.
This segment I left open because I wanted to talk about your travels. I wanted to catch up a little bit. But he comes in the studio and he's like, I have a gripe. I need to discuss this with you on the air.
Because what did you just say right when we went into this segment? I'm so glad
you're here.
Yeah. Okay. So I follow you and I consider us good friends.
We are.
And I follow you through social media, listen to the show. And you're kind of triple timing a lot of us.
Oh, no.
Maybe you just want to pull up your communication and read it to our lovely listeners.
What is it, Instagram?
What you said about Don Mitchell.
I love Don Mitchell.
Oh, you love Don Mitchell. And Brad Satin, a former journalist here in the Twin Cities, replied.
He commented on his own.
He said, you said the same thing to me, and you're saying the same thing to me. And Brad and Don. So I think you should publicly, I wish we could get Don on the phone right now. And we could call Don and we could have you rate who you like most, Dawn, Todd. I'm not even talking on air.
I will not do that.
But you did. You publicly talked about how much you love Dawn Mitchell.
I'm allowed to
and
do
I'm
that.
Reading this going, okay, does she love Dawn more than Todd?
And but then I didn't say I loved her more than you.
But I did see that Brad Satin felt the same bit of, wow.
He took it upon himself to comment on my post that his day on the air with me was supposed to be my best day on the air ever. But it was not.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know that people do follow you, do read your comments, and when you're going right out there telling somebody how much you love them.
I do love them.
And I thought I was ready to respond. I did try to reach out to Brad to see if he would even maybe call in today. And I thought, no, I'm just going to out you, not on the chicken way online. I'm going to out you right here face to face.
I love you all.
Oh, boy.
Why, did I say that Dawn was my favorite?
I think you believe you said Dawn is my favorite.
No.
You were very, the way you mushed the picture you took of you and Dawn.
I did.
I wish we could reach Dawn.
Mush that picture.
I know.
Hold on 1 second. Let me look at what I said. I said, awesome day in studio at WCCO Radio with my dear friend, Dawn Fox 9. It's been more than 15 years since we started working together, and she hasn't aged 1 minute. There's no comparison.
No,
there.
I think there's another comment.
There's no comparison. It was just, I may have written best day ever.
Best day ever. That was it. It was best day ever. And I thought,
okay,
my gosh.
You know what? I should have quantified it best day ever of 2020 so far.
2020 so far.
Because now I could say best day yet because now Todd is joining.
Okay. All right. So I do want you to go right out there with it and say, I want to see a post this afternoon that Dawn gets to see and Brad gets to see saying, this was the best Thursday afternoon I have had in radio with my pal Todd. I need to see
that
in order for me to recover from this ego dive that I'm on experiencing right now.
I had no idea there was such a competition
to be
my favorite guest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be reaching out to Dawn this afternoon.
Well, boyfriend,
anyway,
you know I love you. And if you counted up the amount of days that you've been on this show and nobody else has, I think you could clearly see how much I love you.
Fine. All right, so, yes. You know
Where you been?
I'm going to be where I've been. I actually did go to Chan Poling's wedding, which was absolutely beautiful. Chan Poling.
Remind everybody who Chan is.
Yes, I was just Chan Poling's from the suburbs and from the New Standards. He's the guy that wrote the musical score and actually put together the Glen Sheen musical at the History Theater. Composer, artist, just an all-around really talented guy and doing wonderful things. But he got married. He was married, obviously, as some of our longtime listeners would know, to Eleanor Mondale before she passed here at WCCO. And he got married at Meritage Downtown St. Paul.
Nice.
And I kept thinking, you know, maybe there would be a moment where the New Standards would play or somebody like that would come in, but nothing could trump. I'll just share one thing that happened. There was many media people in the room, many politicians, a beautiful evening at Meritage. But a cappella, his daughter, one daughter stood up in the middle of the room and facing her father and his father's new bride, sang Edelweiss with no musical accompaniment or anything. And then you're thinking the evening is through with music. And the other daughter just stood up and sang Love is by da, 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 da. And sang L-O-V-E to her dad. And to have those magical musical moments in a family like that, it was absolutely beautiful. So it was a lovely wedding. So that was one of the highlights in the last couple of weeks. But he's going to that wedding. It was very, very nice.
So
and they're
nice.
A lovely couple.
Oh, well, I'm glad he's happy.
Yeah. It's very happy. So, and he married a lovely woman, Patty, as well. All right. So next week when I call in, I am going to be at the Beverly Hills Hilton. So we're going to have to set that up. And
for what?
Yeah, I'm going to I'm actually leaving for Beverly Hills on Sunday. I'm invited to Viking riverboat cruises or whatever. They're announcing their new countries that they're going to be exploring, some of their new vessels, and just kind of an update of what they're going to be doing in 2020. So they invited me to join them at the Beverly Hills Hilton.
Wow.
And so,
fancy schmancy.
Yeah, okay, but here's what Todd does, of course. And I was completely honest. I said to the woman who was booking and the PR agency Edelman in Chicago, I said, I'll be honest with you. Minnesota, no sunshine in January. I'm coming out there for 2 days for the meetings. But you know what? I'll cover my own hotel, but I'm going to fly out a couple days early. I said, I have at least a day and a half to enjoy the sunshine, Beverly Hills, go to Santa Monica, West Hollywood. It's been a while since I've been out there. So then you start looking at the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Jordana I mean, it is insane.
Insane.
I mean, I think the cheapest room I found, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, a little bit thrifty. I'm thinking, you know, I'll find something for $150 to $180. The cheapest hotel I could find was $300.
Come on. For one night?
For one night.
The cheapest?
Yes. So, Jordana, here, because, I mean, I'm going to, first of all, I'm not, the Beverly Hills Hilton is, you know, that's where the...
Yeah. Go on the company dime to the Beverly Hills Hilton, well, my friend.
But yes, but for two nights, I'm on my own dime.
Yes,
so I'm trying to figure out in Beverly Hills Hilton, and of course where the Golden Globe Awards were last weekend, which I did go to one year. But it's expensive. So if anybody out there has tips of where I should stay, either in that area, you've got a little lead on a VRBO or something.
Did you look at Airbnbs?
That's what I'm going to do this evening. I've got to look through that. Have you ever done Hotels Tonight?
Yes. In fact, my husband and I do travel with Hotels Tonight. It's, you don't make a plan, but come noon, you open up your Hotels Tonight app and you can see what rooms are available in your location. And they're usually a good rate. And you just book that night. So you're sort of a nomad.
So you would do that.
I've done it in the past, yeah.
So you would go to California. You think that's... Oh, David, do you have that in you? So because I leave Sunday.
He's a wanderer.
So I leave Sunday, fly to L.A. I really don't have anything going on until, you know, late, you know, actually until Wednesday. So Sunday night and Monday, or until Tuesday. So for those two nights, do I just, you know, would you do that?
I have done that many times. Yeah, you just wing it. And I mean, I've booked hotels while we're driving to the hotel on, you know.
On Hotels Tonight.
On Hotwire or Hotels.com or whatever app or
website. So you'd wing
you
it. 2020, you're wing it.
You're alone. You're going to find something.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to do that. I'm not going to rent a VRBO or look at an Airbnb tonight. I'm just going to wait when I land.
You should look, and maybe you'll get a great deal. Who knows what's out there? Maybe you'll find some place you really want to stay because you're staying two nights. The only thing with Hotels Tonight is that you have to check out again the next morning. You can't book for two nights.
You can't
book for one night.
Okay, you should look at, you know, Airbnb or VRBO too, because a lot of those are instant book, and you can book those day of as well.
See?
Okay.
There's going to be
you guys are going to cause me anxiety, but I'm going to do it. It's the new 2020 Todd.
The thrill of the hunt.
I am going to do that. Yes.
See, that was my resolution, is to step into whatever scares you most. And going without a plan seems to scare you a lot.
It does.
So
it does. I'm going to do that.
Take it on.
I'm going to do that.
And I bet you're going to have a great experience.
Yeah.
Or, see, because what can happen, and Mark and I sometimes do this in New York, I mean, we know we're going to stay somewhere. So you can sometimes get a really high-end hotel at a really good price.
Okay, I'm doing it.
You know, think
it's
about
the new Todd.
Think about that. If the Beverly Hills Hilton had some open rooms,
that's what I'm thinking. Then I would have to change hotels.
And they marked it down to $150 a night. That's reasonable for you at this point. That's what you've budgeted.
Yeah.
So why not?
Okay, I'm doing it.
I think
living it. I'm going to be.
You're
living
on the edge.
I'm doing it.
I'm proud of you.
Hey, we haven't talked New Year's resolutions. I just want to know if you have one, because I'm holding my good friends to them.
That's it. It's to be brave, and I'm hashtagging most of my posts. Be brave. I'm doing things that scare me. Anything that I'm recoil from is something that I'm going to step into and make myself do it. My kids are holding me to this because I told them that they should. And that's
you know,
my goal.
I do like the, I saw your new hashtag, be brave.
Be brave.
I think that's pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm going to take risks, do things out of my comfort zone. I'm going to lose weight. I think I'm going to do the whole Livia program.
Should.
The old man. Oh, listen to her. Oh, you should.
Oh, no,
David, how should I feel right now when I'm standing looking at my friend
what
Jordana,
I mean,
and I said, I think I'm going to do the Livia program and lose weight, and she looks at me up and down and says, you should.
That's not what I
meant. Oh, my gosh.
It's just some people in the station are doing the program, and they're liking it.
The Livia one.
So if that's something you're into, I hear that it's a great
program.
Well,
for me, it works because it's meal prep. And, you know, so I don't have to make the food and the whole bit, but it's a long-term commitment. But now that you just looked at me and said, you should.
But you don't have to lose
I want to take that clip, and I want to have that playing to me every time I want
to
go for the food.
That was kind of a trap. That was kind of a trap question, though, you threw out there.
I don't know.
You look good to me, Todd.
Well, I do want to lose weight. But, yes, mine is taking risks and, you know, and saying yes more often.
Saying yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So this is a big risk that you're
it
taking
is.
With the hotel.
I'm going to Beverly Hills, guys. me and the Beverly Hillbillies, and I'm going to live on the edge, and I'm going to find a room when I get there.
So that's what Todd's doing. Todd has tips for what you can be doing this weekend. That's up next. Jordana here. Todd Walker in studio hanging out with me. Thanks for coming to hang out with me.
Well, I just got busted.
Uh-oh.
So what did I say my resolution was for 2020? Was to say yes, right?
Yes.
So one of your listeners just said, take me with you on your trip to Beverly Hills.
You should have said
his name
yes.
is Greg. So take me with you on your trip to Beverly Hills. And if you're true to your New Year's resolution, you're going to say yes.
Well, do you know him?
No.
Well, you can't bring a stranger. Sorry, Greg. But good try, Greg. Good try.
Good efforts. Good efforts.
Thank you for listening.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
So I guess I got to be judicious is how I when I say yes.
Right. And safe. Not that Greg is not. Right. But, you know, let's not be crazy. So this week, I went to a local community event. It was the No Hate, No Fear rally at Temple Israel. And there were thousands of people there, and the governor was there, and the lieutenant governor, and Paul Gazelka, a lot of elected officials, as well as a lot of faith leaders from all over the state and of every faith you can imagine. All sorts of different colors, nationalities were represented, and it was really a beautiful thing. I understand that we did not solve anti-Semitism that night, but it was nice to see outpouring and support for people to be openly who they are and to feel comfortable in their own skin in a diverse environment. So it was really a nice thing. So I try to go and be out in the community.
Were there many people from the community there? Or was it mostly
Jews?
Leaders?
Yeah, no. There's plenty of Jews there. I mean, I imagine, you know, we don't wear a sign.
Yeah, right.
But there were plenty of Jews there, but there were lots of other non-Jews.
Well, that's what I mean. Was and different religions represented? And
you know, I mean, I was up at way back in the nosebleed seats because we got in a little late. Suze Ellickson and I went with Mark. And it was great. I mean, there were a lot of Jewish people there, though. A lot of people that
I know.
What
did you learn?
That's the thing. I mean, what do you learn? What I did learn was this, that our leaders and our elected leaders, Paul Gazelka spoke really from the heart about stopping hate, about being a person who stands in the gap in this time in history and says, that is not okay. Because history is bound to repeat itself. If it doesn't, and anti-Semitism is as old as from the time there were Jews, there's been anti-Semitism. So he said it is important for him as somebody who is elected to stand up and say, not on my watch. Anytime I see anti-Semitism, I'm going to call it out. Anytime I feel it, I'm going to say, no, this has to stop. And he plans to shut it down. And it was really pretty great
pretty
to hear our elected leaders say that.
And what about the governor? Did he have
pretty much the same thing? You know, the governor came on my show to promote the event a few days ago, and he talked about studying genocide in college. And I didn't know that he was so well-versed, certainly in the Holocaust and many other genocides in our history of evolution. But he understands deeply that if you forget the history, that this certainly can repeat itself. And if we don't know how it started and why it started and why people were so vulnerable and why people were so willing to scapegoat, you know, why they're so weak and so ready to blame others, then we will have learned nothing. So he's all about education, about prior genocides, not just the Holocaust, to not let it happen again. And everybody spoke very eloquently.
Right. And I know Peggy Flanagan, I did a story on her and covered her wedding for Minneapolis St. Paul magazine. And she has made this part of her platform for sure.
She's Native American.
Right, being Native American. Mm-hmm. That was when she ran. She was very vocal about her life and being Native American and being the first woman of color in the office.
Yeah, and she spoke a lot about her history and the history of the Jews, and that was fascinating as well. So it was a beautiful event. Everybody, again, we didn't solve anti-Semitism,
right?
But there was a sense of support within the community and for the people who showed up.
And good conversation, at least starter.
Absolutely. I tell you that because that was an event I went to this weekend, and you have a list of events, or this weekend.
Oh, yes.
You have a list of events that are coming up this weekend that other folks can go to.
Well, you know, I do have to say that this time of year, having covered events for many years, January is always slow.
Kind of slow, kind of dry.
Cut me a little slack here. I really looked. First of all, I'm not sure if you've heard yet, but Oprah's coming to town.
Are you going?
No, I'm not.
All right. Why not?
I don't know.
She's my queen. Okay, I love Oprah.
Okay, so she's coming Sunday, right? The 11th?
Yes.
Yeah, so she'll be here on Sunday the 11th. But it says the events start at 9 a.m.
It's all day, honey.
What do you do? I mean, I know it's going to be great, and I'm not coming across as an Oprah. Questioning Oprah's ability to keep everybody entertained from 9 o'clock in the morning. But, wow, that's a long time.
Are you kidding? I would go, and I would just camp out, and I would bring my Depends because I wouldn't want to miss a minute of it.
And Tina Fey's joining her, right?
Can you imagine?
I mean, it's just going to be fantastic. It really will be.
The only reason, and all of my friends are going. Everyone's buying tickets. Oh, yeah, everybody's going. Oh, no, I'm excited about this. But the only reason I'm not is because my nephew is being bar mitzvahed in New Jersey this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So I will not be on the air tomorrow. We're flying out to before Shabbat for the bar mitzvah, and so I will not be here this weekend.
Otherwise, but you'd be going.
I considered flying back for it because I cannot believe I'm missing Oprah.
Yeah. No, it's going to be fantastic. People are going to have – I mean, it's going to be a great day on Sunday, and tickets started at $36, so, you know, they're not totally –
Is it not sold out?
I've heard mixed comments on whether or not it's sold out. And I tried to reach out to Jorah, our friend who just had a baby. So this was not, she just had a little baby girl. So it was not probably the top thing on her list to respond to me. But so yes, that is happening on Sunday. And at the Ames Center, which is in Bloomington, if you're a fan of Buddy Holly, that's a Buddy Holly review is going on. And this is happening on Saturday. It's at 8:00 and at 10:30. And tickets start at $30. And it's a big dance party, so they really do try to liven it up a little bit and have some fun. Now, this event I really kind of liked because it's, you know, we need to embrace the Minnesota winter and get out there and enjoy winter a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they do this once a year at Fort Snelling State Park. And you go down to the park, and it starts at 11:00, goes until 4:00.
It's fun.
And they have all the equipment that you need to enjoy the outdoors. They have fat tire bikes. They have snowshoeing. They even have a kayak race so that people get in a kayak, and they race them across the frozen water.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, which sounds like a lot of work to me.
Well, hold on. Let me look at the forecast. This is Saturday or this is Sunday?
Saturday.
So Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 16. So it's going to be chilly, my friends.
It's going to be chilly. It's going to be chilly. Yeah. And then they have cross-country skiing. So once again, it's totally free. You pay to go into the park.
Yeah.
And then all these partners together, like it's REI fun. And whatever, bring all their equipment. So there's equipment for everybody. They have hot chocolate. They have s'mores. So it's really a fun day. And it's like
bundle.
$7 per car. Now, if you want to get out of town, you can go up to Lutzen. And this is their party weekend. It's called the Ski Party at Lutzen Mountain. And they have music. They have a dance party. They have different skiing packages, different lodging packages. So, you know, head up to Lutzen, enjoy the outdoors, and, you know, hang out a little bit. Now, over in Roseville, the Bent Brewstillery is doing a winter luau in Roseville. So he's embracing the cold by ignoring the cold. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's a big luau. And so he's, for $11 a plate, they're going to have, like, Kahlua porks, Spam sandwiches, mango coleslaw.
Kahlua pork.
I know. It's going to be and spamaroni and cheese.
Oh my gosh!
So rather than macaroni, so that'll be kind of interesting.
That's great.
And then they're going to introduce a new whiskey, which is going to have hibiscus and lavender infused. So it should be pretty good. So that's going to be great. And of course, on Saturday at what time? 3:35. It is Minnesota Vikings versus the San Francisco 49ers. So that, of course, will be a big game and where everybody's going to want to hang out. I'm actually covering for Fox an old-fashioned tailgate party at Plums in St. Paul Saturday morning where I talk to them, and they're going to do everything outside, even in the chilly, cold morning. I mean, I show up at 6:45 a.m. It's going to be cold, and they're going to have a big fire in the fireplace. They're going to do – here's what I'm going to do, though. Rather than doing the bag toss – I'm bringing macaroni. What is the Chef Boyardee?
Okay.
No, what is the one that San Francisco made?
Rice-a-roni. The San Francisco treat.
So I'm bringing boxes of rice-a-roni, and we're going to toss into the bag toss the rice-a-roni, and then at the end, open them up and throw the whole thing in the fire. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds fun.
Yeah. So we're going to just, liven it up a little bit. And, you know, the old-fashioned, for years I covered tailgating here, which your favorite person on earth, Don Mitchell, I'm sure, has done. And, you know, we'd hang out in the freezing cold in these lots that are now covered with you know, apartment buildings and, you know, party in the parking lot. So I'm going to bring that back a little bit on Fox.
My son, I never know what to call him. I guess my son-in-law, he's married to Mark's daughter. My son-in-law is a huge tailgater before every Vikings. He's got a Jeep that he's painted purple. It's like a really old Jeep that he painted purple. And they have a spot in the Periscope parking lot,
sure,
you know, right by the stadium. But he will do like the Euros on a stick.
Oh,
like he will cook all day Saturday to get before, you know, when he gets there. And he'll set up the full-on tent. And friends come. And he's feeding an army. You know, it's the whole Instagrammable cooking all day Saturday. And then
I bet money.
But he's been doing this for years.
I bet I've interviewed him because that was my beat on Sunday mornings for Fox for over 10 years. And I did the Periscope parking lot many, many times, and the Viking World Order and all those people that, you know, hang out and knight people in the parking lot. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to embrace the cold and paint my face purple and hang out with people at Plums in St. Paul for Fox in the morning. So it should be pretty fun.
God bless you. I don't embrace the cold. Maybe we stop by and visit for a little. But whenever that happens, you know, if we find street parking, we're always so lucky. But they get you with the street parking because they charge you $25 to park at a meter.
Yeah. So, it's crazy. $25 for a meter parking.
Sometimes we stop by. Sometimes we do not. We only have one more minute before we have to get to the break. But I wanted to ask you, did your parents tell you any lies when you were a kid that you now know as a grown-up they totally lied to you?
I'll think about that one when we come back.
We're going to talk about that at 5:35. Greatest lies that parents tell their kids. You know, Disneyland is closed.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's why we can't go. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
The DVD is broken, so we cannot watch Snow White.
The Dairy Queen's not open.
Right.
Yeah, those kind of lies for sure. Do you tell your kids these
There
stories?
Are a few. I mean, there was one sort of doozy that I will share. That's going to be coming up at 5:35. But there's a fun new piece out today about the kids, about the lies parents tell their kids. In fact, I tweeted it out. I tweeted out the article, and I did get a response from one of the guys who works here, Ross. Ross said, a family friend told us years ago he bought a brand new vehicle with an options package that included an entertainment system in the back seat. But whenever his grandkids would ride in the vehicle, he would tell them it was broken so they didn't end up breaking it themselves.
I mean, clever.
It's bizarre because it's the entertainment system really for them, and they never got to use the entertainment system. But the crazy lies we've either told our kids or our parents have told us. We'll open up the phone lines. That's going to be at 5:30, but I was just wondering that about Todd. Quick break, and then back with Todd Walker. I was going to ask Todd Walker, who's with me today, about Jillian Michaels slamming Lizzo. She made fun of Lizzo for being unhealthy, and then fans are now trolling Jillian Michaels for body shaming her. So I mentioned that, and he goes, "Well, Jore, what about Wendy Williams shaming Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban?" And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, back it up! What is that story?"
Well, I happen to catch it.
Hit me.
Yeah, and you know, all these people are giving money back to Australia for
yes.
all the relief, and people are donating a considerable amount of money.
Sure.
And Wendy Williams was on in the background of, you know, I had the TV on, and it was Fox.
When you were
and
getting
of course,
a manicure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Wendy Williams is talking about Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban giving $500,000 to the relief efforts and shaming them, saying that's only $250,000 a piece. Shame on you two for not giving more, and you're both from Australia.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You don't do that. What do you think?
And it's also $500,000.
Half a
still
million
a lot
dollars.
Of money.
It's more than you know, it's more than I'm giving. It's more than other people are giving.
You don't do that
no.
at all.
I mean, don't you think that's just rotten?
Absolutely. Look, I feel bad for what's happening over there, and I hope people do donate what they can. But my goodness, you don't judge somebody
right.
else.
And then she started talking about, you know, single people that are donating $500,000, and she said, and this is a couple, so that's only $250 a piece. I'm like, who does that?
She also said there were non-Australian people who donated $1 million.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but do you
their thing.
Do you find that so wrong?
So rude.
David, what do you think? Do you think that's just rotten?
I think you also don't ever have to make a public stand on that. Why is Wendy Williams saying, well, here's where I'm going to hang my hat on this argument?
Yeah, why would
you judge somebody.
Yeah, why would you even take that on?
I don't know.
I think it's just rotten.
Yeah, I'm with you. A no response is much better. I mean, just leave it alone.
Yeah, why would you even?
And that's exactly what Jillian Michaels should have done. She should have shut her mouth because, get this, she's a celeb. For those of you who don't know, she's a celebrity fitness trainer. Was she on The Biggest Loser?
Yeah,
she was on The Biggest Loser. So she's got, you know, the hot body and all that stuff. Okay, during an appearance on BuzzFeed News, she questioned why Lizzo fans are celebrating her body and not her songs. She said this: "Why are we celebrating her body? Why does it matter? Why aren't we celebrating her music?" She wrote a book called The Slim Life. And then she continued, get this, "It isn't going to be awesome if she gets diabetes. I love her music. My kid loves her music. But there's a moment where I'm like, and I'm glad that, am I so glad that she's overweight?" You know, like she was questioning it. So she goes out there and says, "Boy, I hope Lizzo doesn't get diabetes." And now she's getting trolled for fat shaming Lizzo.
Well, but I do agree. I mean, why, once again, would you, if you were Jillian Michaels, would you even take this on? What, when you're sitting back thinking, what is going to be gained? Did she think she was going to get more followers and more attention
because
she's taking on supporting the diabetics of the world?
No.
Trying to beat diabetes? I mean, it's crazy.
And why, that's it. Why even make that statement? Why don't you just say, if they were having a conversation about Lizzo, "I like her music. My kid likes her music. Go Lizzo.
Right. And I hope, you know, I wish her health and happiness
in
2020.
It. Sometimes, and David and I were just having this conversation the other day because some guy got fired over claiming his company was cheap, Fastenal, here in Winona.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did see that.
Was cheap for giving him a $27 barbecue set for Christmas. And he tweeted about it and they fired him. And I said, why would you even bother putting yourself out there on something so stupid? Like Jillian Michaels, you should know better that people are going to jump all over you.
Right, and she's in the public eye and somebody that's obviously worked in the media for all this time. Why would you even – I just find that maybe in 2020 people need to be a little bit more reserved in their communication style.
And I'm not perfect. You talk for 3 hours a day, you're bound to make a mistake somewhere and say lots of dumb stuff. When you – part of social media is part of the job that you do and it's what's expected and required. Sometimes you're going to screw up. Try to be thoughtful about the things that you're saying, not only for your own self, but how they are affecting other people. Because there are tons of girls out there that look like Lizzo looks and are proud of her out there, you know, doing what she's doing, and as we all are. So Jillian Michaels, with your hot body and your fitness books, zip it.
Yeah, but you're right. You know, especially in the line of work that, you know, the three of us are in here, there are those moments when you have said things, especially I do live, you know, live TV, live radio,
honey,
where you just simply, oh, man, I wish I could take those words back. And it happens. It just simply does. But when you're actually putting it in print form and you're tweeting it out there.
Why bother?
Yeah, there's no excuse.
And, you know, God knows we say this about the president, think before you tweet. If you're a celebrity, your managers should be literally vetting one of your tweets so you don't get yourself in trouble. I need somebody to vet my tweets because I do take an inordinate amount of time to be like, all right, am I going to piss anybody off?
Well, yeah, like you talk about, you rate your friends who you like the best and who you like the least.
Stop that. I just said it was a great day. Mm-hmm. Yep. You took that totally out of context, and I'm feeling a little insecurity on your on your part.
Yes.
Are we okay?
Yes, I am feeling a little insecure, but I'm gonna tweet Brad Satin and Don Mitchell and
Stop
say that
it.
You outwardly said today that I was your favorite.
Oh, my God. You are the worst. You're my favorite now.
Right. Just play back the tape, David, and we will hear her say that I'm definitely the one you enjoy the most.
My favorite right now. Right. I love you all the time. Mm-hmm. I do love you, Todd. I do call you a lot to fill in on the show.
Well, we have a good time together.